Thank you, Dave. I hope that is all of our plea and that we just walk closer to the Lord. As Dave said, that does make all the difference. If I don't walk close to the Lord, I'm not going to be a very good husband, I'm not going to be a very good father, won't be a very good pastor, because we all need the Lord. Remember, we started out this series saying, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. So whatever we try to do, if we don't do it with the Lord, it's just not going to make it. But with Him, anything's possible. Even talking and communicating, which is kind of a big subject like we're talking today about. I'm excited about Strengthening Family series because I think that having strong families is essential to happiness in life, to helping to raise good kids, to have a good, strong church, community, nation. It depends a lot on our family strength. And God has a lot to say in His Word, probably more than anything else, you know, about how to have strong families and good relationships because He knows how important it is. And so we're excited about this series as we're talking today about basic communication skills. And we're going to talk a lot about a lot of things. The Bible has a lot to say about communication, but we're going to try to simplify it so that you can at least take a few points home with you and maybe apply them in your life today. There was a young man who once approached Socrates and asked this philosopher if he could teach him how to, you know, the gift of speech, maybe in public speaking. His request then was followed by an incessant stream of words until finally Socrates placed his hand over the young inquirer's mouth and said, "Young man, I'll have to charge you a double fee." The guy said, "What do you mean, charge a double fee?" And Socrates said, "Well, I'm going to have to teach you two sciences. First, how to hold your tongue, and then how to use it." And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, this very subject, how can we hold our tongue and how do we use it? Because it's so important in the communication that we have with one another. The most important skill that anyone can learn is how to communicate effectively. Lack of communication and faulty communication has been the chief cause of marriage breakups, of families being destroyed, and in some extreme cases, jail cells being occupied. An inability to communicate will eventually cause loneliness and depression. Those who can't communicate well rarely have many friends. So let's look this morning at some communication skills that will help us navigate through the tricky landscape of relationships. The key scripture is found in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. It'll be up here on your screen for you, or you can follow along in your Bibles. It says this, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would teach us through Your Word today how to be better communicators, how to control our tongues, how to control our ears, maybe be better at the things that we need to be better at. And help us not just to be hearers of the Word, help us to be doers of the Word and to put it into practice in our life, because if we do, our relationships are going to be stronger, our lives are going to be happier, and we're going to be more productive for You in every area of life. In Jesus' name, we give You praise. Amen. So the first key from this scripture this morning that we want to see about communication is, number one on your outline, be quick to listen. Dale Carnegie has written a lot of books about making friends and how to influence your enemies. He's famous for books like that, and he made this statement in one of his writings. He said that you can make more friends in 2 weeks by becoming a good listener than you can in 2 years trying to get people interested in you. If you'll just learn to listen to people, people are going to be interested in you. You're going to increase your ability to have close relationships. And so this important skill of listening. I put three things on your outline that deal with listening that can help us. A is look at the other person that you're talking to. And that means take notice of them. Research shows that only 7% of what we communicate comes through our words. Only 7%. 38% of what we communicate comes through our voice inflections. And 55% of what we communicate comes through our body language. So you can't know what a person's saying if you don't look at them and see them. I think that's part of the problem with texting. It's a lot of the problem that we have today. We don't, you know, talking on the phone was better because at least you heard their inflections of their voice. But now you don't see them at all. That's why we Skype. I mean, we have Skyping. That helps. You can see the baby. You know, you can see if the person's tired. You know, they're talking about, and that's important. So really, one key to if you want better communication is move from texting, you know, even from phone calls to Skyping. It's just an idea, because you can talk and you pick up a lot of things from what that person's body language is. And so that's a key is you need to look at the person that you're talking to. B is be a mirror, reflect back to the person what you hear them saying. Sometimes we call this the feedback technique. Feedback to the person what you hear them saying and give them a chance to respond. So if they're saying something and maybe you're a little confused by it or something, you would say, well, this is what I'm hearing you saying. Is this what you mean? Because sometimes we don't even hear it right. We don't even interpret it right. And they say, no, I didn't mean that. You know, but reflect back to them. Are you telling me this? Is this what you're saying to me? Will help communicate. And it helps them know that you are listening too, because you are willing to reflect back. And C is ask questions for clarification. A lot of times we interpret and we think we know what the person's saying, but we don't. You know, so asking questions, and I would say questions not only for the facts, but questions for the feelings. Like, you must have been really upset when I did that, or you must have been hurt by that. How did you feel when that happened? By asking questions, you can clarify and probably help see what the real message is. Good listening is an art form. It takes work and it focus to do effectively. I think it's the hardest part of communication. And so that's probably why we avoid it, because we don't want to work at it that hard. But if you will, you can have some great benefits from that in your life, and people will like you and they'll even come to you if you're a good listener. It's like sometimes we don't really listen, and sometimes we don't focus and we try to fake like we're listening. You know, we're really watching TV, but oh yeah, you know, you nod your head and you do those kind of things. But good listening is hard to fake. But like the couple who were talking with their pastor, and the subject of marriage counseling came up because he knew they were struggling a little bit, and the wife said, "Oh pastor, my husband and I will never need counseling. We have a great relationship." He said that he was a communications major in college and I majored in drama. He communicates real well and I just act like I'm listening. That doesn't work, does it? You know if somebody's listening or not. You can't act like you're listening. And so James, his first principle is, if you want to communicate well, be quick to listen. Learn to listen. Focus on listening and your communication will be much better. It's not that we need to talk more. Usually we need to listen better in this process. Secondly, the second principle that James tells us is be slow to speak. As one person put it, let your tongue out of its cage only when necessary. James tells us the tongue can be evil like a fire. It can spread problems. It's hard to handle. A loose tongue is like shooting from the hip. It is not accurate and it can do widespread damage. In preparing for this message, I came across an anonymous quote that I thought was pretty good. It says this, "Men have two ears, but only one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak. The ears are always open, ever ready to receive instruction, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and to keep it within proper bounds." Proverbs 13:3 says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." So sometimes just keeping our mouth shut helps a long ways. I put on your outline for you, Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So I put on your outline for you some questions to ask yourself before speaking. And even if you take the time to ask yourself these questions, it's going to help you. First question, is it true? Is it true? The Bible says, speak the truth in love. It's another problem with our communication these days is everything true that you see on Facebook? Is everything true that comes across Twitter? Now, we get excited about this. We want to share some information. Oh, is this, you know, about this? Or you confront somebody on something. You don't even know that it's true. There's no validation to the facts. You need to, before you speak something, before you share something, before you confront somebody on something, is find out whether it's true or not. You know, go to your sources. That's a problem. We just think anything anybody puts on TV is true, or anything that somebody posts on Facebook is true. That's not accurate. And we get ourselves in trouble a lot of times. So go to a source, find out what the information is. You know, even dealing with your kids or something, many times I did that. I didn't take time to inquire enough, and I confront somebody on something that wasn't even what happened because you haven't taken time to know the facts. So you need to speak the truth. Make sure it's true before you speak it. Second question is it necessary? Because even if it's true, it might not be necessary to confront at the time. It might not be necessary to share. It might not be something that's good. So is it necessary? C, is it helpful? Is it going to benefit the situation? Sometimes you know it's going to hurt the situation, so don't even speak it. It's not going to help. Is it going to be help? Even though it's true, it might not be helpful. I might not need to speak it. And D, is it edifying? Will it build up or will it tear down? You know, if you're speaking to intentionally hurt someone, then just don't talk. Just zip your lips and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lash out at that person because they hurt me or because they said something or did something to me that was not good. So don't intentionally try to lash out at people with your talk. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. One guy came to his pastor. He said, Reverend, said, I only have one talent. And the pastor asked, well, what's your talent? The man said, well, I have the gift of criticism. The pastor was wise, and he replied, he said, well, you know, the Bible says the guy who had only one talent, he went out and buried it. And maybe that's what you should do with yours. That's biblically sound advice, isn't it? Bury it. You know, so the first two basic communication skills that God wants us to practice is, number one, be quick to what? Listen. And secondly, be slow to speak. If we get those two down, then it's going to help a lot in our relationships. The third is on the back of your outline, and that is, be slow to become angry. Be slow to become angry. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27, I put on your outline for you as well. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So, you know, anger is a natural emotion. We're all going to have it. It's not evil in itself, but it can lead to bad things, and it can have bad consequences, and so we must learn to control our anger. When it comes to dealing with conflict, everybody in this room today falls into one or two camps. I didn't put this on your outline. Don't worry about it, because I didn't want you to go home and use them against each other or anything. But you are either tend to be a passive person or you tend to be an aggressive person. When it comes to anger and conflict, you either resist or you have a tendency to run. You're a resister or you are a runner. You have a tendency to either fight or you have a tendency to flee when conflict happens. In most relationships, one person tends toward being violent, the other person tends toward being silent. I like to say sometimes that God puts couples together. Oftentimes, he puts skunks and turtles in the same family. Some of you are skunks. When a skunk, you know exactly where they stand. They let you know. And when you're upset, they don't mind stinking up the whole place. They spew, right? Everybody knows how they feel. Anybody know skunks? They're skunks around. On the other hand, some of you are turtles. When conflict comes, you pull back into your shell. You withdraw. You become distant. You back out of the relationship. Now, I know God loves variety, but I don't think either of those alternatives are exactly the best one. But there is other options in between. At every point in your life, you are always moving in one of three directions. Think about this. You're moving in one or three directions. You're always moving against people in anger or away from people in fear, or you are moving with people in love. You're either moving against people in anger, away from people in fear, or you are moving with people in love. Which way do you think God wants us to move? With people in love. And it doesn't matter what kind of personality type we have, we still can do that. The idea in anger control is not to eliminate anger, because you can't, but you can learn how to express your anger in appropriate ways, in ways that benefit you and benefit the other person. Anger control is a very important skill. It's absolutely essential for a healthy marriage. It's absolutely essential for a strong family. You must learn to deal with how you feel. You must learn how to handle your anger. And so I put a few keys to anger control on your outline for you. Under A, first of all, you need to seek to understand your anger. There's a reason you're getting angry. There's something behind it, and if you can understand it, then you can manage it better. If you don't understand what's going on, then you won't manage it very well. So I put on here 5 causes of anger. See if you can relate to them. Number 1, we get angry when we feel unaccepted. When you think somebody doesn't accept you, they don't like you, they criticize you, it makes you angry. They don't accept you, or they don't want you on their team, right? Secondly, we get angry when we feel unappreciated. You go on to a lot of work, you made a nice dinner, nobody noticed. You did a lot of work, you put time in, and it wasn't appreciated. It makes you angry. Thirdly, we feel angry when we feel unsupported. Maybe somebody is with you on a team or something, you stand up at work, you're bringing something up, and the other person doesn't back you. I mean, it makes you angry because you left me out there alone. You did not support me. Fourthly, we feel angry when we feel unprotected, when there's danger, when there's a threat. We get angry. Sometimes that's good because we need that anger to motivate us. And fifthly, we causes of anger is when we feel uncertain. Uncertain. Do you ever notice a person gets angry when they can't validate their point? When someone confronts you on something, or they say something, or you ask them about it, if they're not certain on their position, they're going to get angry. They're going to blow up because they're not sure. If you're certain about something, you're solid in your belief, and you're not worried about it, you don't get angry when someone questions you because you already know. But when you're uncertain about something, it causes you to get angry. Now, I put another little thing that helps you sometimes in trying to understand your anger, and it's a kind of an acrostic thing that I put on your outline for you. Behind every anger, there's a hen. Now, I'm not talking about a nitpicking hen. I'm talking about there's a reason behind your anger, and you can evaluate that by the word hen. So if you get angry, you can ask myself, what's the hen that's going on here? Or if somebody else is angry, you can ask them, what's the hen? H is hurt. If they're angry, there might be a hurt underneath here. What happened that caused them to be angry? They must have been hurt some way. What is it? Or what's hurting me? E stands for expectation. Behind the hurt, there's probably an expectation maybe that wasn't met. You know, like, say your wife makes a real nice dinner for you and she has all this expectations. We're going to sit down and have fine, and we have one night at home and I'm making a nice dinner, go to all the work, and you come home late and don't let her know and everything burns or it's dried out. You know, and she's angry. She's like, why are you angry? Because there was an expectation. There was something that I was hoping for, I was planning on, it just didn't work out. And it makes you angry. So is it a hurt? Is there an expectation that wasn't met? And N stands for need, some need that's not being met. And that might go along with the acceptance or appreciation or support or protection that's not there. So I might ask myself the question, if I get angry every time my wife brings up something about finances, why do I get angry? Am I feeling like I'm not doing a good job supporting the family? I should be making more money, or I'm not spending the money well? What's causing that? You know, what's the reason that I would get angry behind it? And then you can help manage it. Also, sometimes if it hurts somebody and you bring it up because it like attacks their self-esteem, for some reason their self-esteem is attacked every time you bring it up, you might say, well, maybe I shouldn't bring that up all the time. It makes them angry. There's some reason behind that. So the first thing in controlling anger is to understand it. Why do you get angry? What's causing that anger so that you can deal with it more effectively? B, under becoming slow to be angry, is to deal immediately with your anger. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Why? Because it gives the devil a foothold. It causes bitterness to develop. Walls are built up. People withdraw, especially turtles. You know, skunks, they just explode and they think it's over, right? I don't know why you would be upset, but people who keep it inside, which probably more of us do that than do, just express it. It kind of brews, doesn't it? And it has to be dealt with. You know, some people think, okay, I hurt somebody, it'll just go away. It doesn't go away. Hurts don't just go away. You have to be able to deal with it. You need to be able to express it. You need to be able to resolve it. You need to be able to express it. You need to be able to offer forgiveness. If someone asks you forgiveness, you need to say you're sorry when you need to say you're sorry and be able to move on, because hurts just don't take care of themselves. They don't just get resolved. You need to be in that process, but you need to deal with it quickly. Don't let it build up and don't ignore it, because it won't just go away. So in dealing with anger, seek to understand your anger, deal immediately. It's easier. It gets harder if you keep putting it off, because the people aren't even going to remember what it was that made you upset. You know, so you need to deal with it quickly. And C, learn to control your anger. You see, you can't control what others say or do to you, but you can control how you respond to them. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And I put three things on how to help control your anger when you're feeling angry. Number one, realize the cost. Before I explode, before I do something I shouldn't, before I throw something, it might get me in jail. I know somebody that was in jail because they kept getting in fights and they get angry and they're abusive towards their girlfriend, and then they were in jail for a year. And I visited them every day, and and they became a Christian, and they tried to work through stuff, and went back, and they did the same thing over again, and ended up being back in jail again because they couldn't control their anger. But sit and count the cost. What's going to be the cost? What's the hurt that's going to happen? Is it going to destroy my family, my relationships? Maybe I don't want to go there. Secondly, reflect before reacting. Thomas Jefferson once said, when you get angry, count to 10 before you respond. If you get really angry, count to 100. I think that's good policy. It's good for our politicians today, if they would learn that. Just count. Don't say anything, just count. Think before you speak. That's just what the Bible says. And all of us can learn from that if you just take the time to do that before you get yourself in problems. Reflect before reacting, and thirdly, release anger appropriately. You've got to let the pressure out. You can't keep it inside, just like a pressure cooker you're going to explode, but you need to do it properly. Again, I want to share with you just a few things on how to vent your anger properly. Again, it's not on your outline. I didn't have room for it, but just listen, because remember, that's one of the key things is learn to listen, right? So let me just share with you. If you're angry, you want to express something, be brief. Don't go on 20 minutes before coming up for air. Probably they're not going to keep listening to you. So learn to be brief and to state your what's bothering you simply. Secondly, be specific. Instead of making general condemnations like you're messy and you're just a pig pen, be specific and say, would you mind picking up your dirty underwear from the middle of the living room floor? Or please don't keep leaving your dirty socks on the doorknobs. Just be specific. And then thirdly, be humble. And this is a key. Be humble or you'll stumble. Because pride is at the root of every argument. It's ego against ego bouncing together that makes fights. So stay humble. And the way that you do that, even if you're upset, is make I statements rather than you statements. Anytime you say you, it's always accusatory. You're always this way. You're never like that. It attacks the person and it attacks their character. But if you say I statements, then it keeps you humble and it keeps the fights from coming. Say like, I was upset. Instead of saying, you're always late for supper and you really make me mad, say, well, I was upset today. You might think I'm because I went to making all this dinner and I really had this expectation of things were going to go well, and then it didn't, and so it really hurt me. You see, when you make I statements, it's not attacking the other person, but when you make you statements, it doesn't work very well. So here are some things to remember. They're all C's. You don't need to write them down, but never compare. I wish you could be like Pastor Dan, because it's probably not true anyway. I wish you would, or condemn, condemn the person because of who you are. That's who you are, and that's what you're like, and you're never going to be any different. Never command. Do you ever notice that doesn't work, especially in a spouse relationship, to give commands? You better do this, and from now on, you're going to do that. Does that work usually? It doesn't usually work to give commands. Never challenge. Oh, you want to get in a fight? You want to put on the gloves? Let's get at it. Don't challenge. Never condescend or belittle. Never contradict. Do you ever notice contradicting doesn't work when someone makes a statement and you went, that's not the way it was. No, that's not the way it was, and you contradict them. Let them speak first before you bring up your arguments, if you want to say. And then never confuse, because a lot of people try to confuse and they try to smokescreen the issue. So when I say, if my wife confronted me and said, well, you were late for supper, I say, well, you were late taking the kids to school the other day, and you didn't finish doing the painting job I asked you to do, and when we were going to mow the lawn, how people do that? They'll just skirt all the topics and go off somewhere else, confuse the whole issue, and never get anything resolved. So those are the C's. Never compare, never condemn, never command, never challenge, never condescend, never contradict, and never confuse. And you're saying, I can't do all those. You know, and I would say, unless the Lord builds the house, you won't. And all these things are natural for us to do. And you can't remember all of them anyway, but you can remember three things that we talked about today that James says are really important. Remember what they are. The first thing is be quick to what? Listen. Be slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. On your application section, I ask you two questions. And again, if you don't do anything about it, you'll do nothing about it. The Bible says so often we come to church, we're hearers, but we don't do anything about it, and it doesn't do any good. If you want to improve your relationships, you have to do something about what you hear. So the first thing you ask yourself is, what area of communication do I need the most work at? I probably need help in all three areas, but I'm going to have to say, which one do I need the most work at? Am I a bad listener? Sometimes. Do I speak? I don't think I speak bad about people. I have too much trouble in the speaking area. I have more trouble listening. That's my personality. I have trouble listening because I interrupt and I jump into conclusions and I just finish it for them. So I know that would be an area. Or do you have trouble controlling your emotions? You just get angry and you blow up and it messes up things. So pick one of the areas that you know you need work at and then ask somebody close to you to help you. You know, so I could ask my kids, which I tried to do before, you know, if I'm not listening to you, will you tell me? I think you're not listening to me. Because I would have trouble doing that. If I got angry, could I say, you know, if I'm getting angry, would you just say, I think you're getting upset, can we just settle that down a little? Which probably doesn't work with somebody who's getting angry anyway. But you can try it, you know. Or, you know, if you're speaking, you're saying bad things, like you shouldn't say bad things, maybe it's good. Let's focus on some good things. Let's not go there. I think maybe we're saying some things we don't mean. And I've done that sometimes. You know, you're not supposed to go to bed angry. And so my wife and I, we always did that in bed, you know, if we're upset because we're both turtles, kind of. We're probably skunks and turtles both, probably all of us are a combination. And so we try to talk about it at night, but I noticed if she bring up something, I start saying stuff I shouldn't say. I mean, when I'm really tired, I just start bringing up, getting that fog thing. All of a sudden you bring up all the past, a bunch of other stuff, and I have to say, I don't mean that. I mean, I would say stuff, I don't mean that, I'm just tired. So let's talk about it tomorrow. You know, so when I'm in my right mind, because sometimes we don't control ourselves, we're too tired either. So sometimes it works. I know not going to bed angry. Sometimes you have to say, let's come back tomorrow. And so sometimes people, when they get so angry and they yell at each other all the time and they can't communicate, I say, go to McDonald's to talk. Because when you're out in public, you control yourself better. You know, so sit down in a public place and talk, and then maybe that'll help control your anger. So there are things that you can do that will help, but we all need help in all these areas because we're human. That's why James wrote it. That's why God says you need help in these areas. But we can do it. Because if the Lord builds a house, we can get better. We can improve our relationships in our family. We can improve our relationships at work, at church, in our community. Even government leaders can improve their relationships. And they could do better if they would follow what God tells them to do. So let's pray and ask God to help us in these areas in our life. Lord, it's kind of hard to come to church and hear all this stuff because you step on our toes every time we open up the book. But it's because you know us and you know what we need, and we know that communication, sometimes we speak more than we listen. And Lord, help us in these areas where you would want us to be better, to be humble and to look honestly at ourselves and ask for help and to give grace to each other in the process of growth. Thank you, Lord, for this. Help me to learn and grow. Help all of us to strengthen our relationships through the truth in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.